It is freezing in Johannesburg and Pretoria today. I'm at home. I'm not by choice. I looked at my alarm and I thought, oh, I can still sleep 5 minutes. And then when I woke up, it was like 22. And I thought, I'm not going to make it on time. But Ben and Simpiwe, ever diligent as they are in the studio. Morning, guys.
How's
morning.
This?
Yeah, we're just working on a volume thing right now.
Oh, you got a volume problem, but otherwise everything looks like it's working properly. Thank you, James and Flex. Happy Friday.
It will be.
Friday.
I mean, it will be at some stage today. It'll be a happy Friday. Sure is. You know when winter, you know when winter becomes vindictive. Like you park your car and the wind follows you like an uncle. It follows you and goes, "I'm getting you. Gonna get you." It really. It's like that's how I felt when I got on my car this morning.
Yes, it's cold.
But you were in Cape Town on Wednesday, and I believe you had great weather there, right?
I mean, yeah, cheapest guys. I've got to tell you about my little trip to Cape Town very quickly. I got on the plane and I was pretty tired and I knew the weather was going to be shitty on the way there.
Okay.
So there's something weird when I get into an aeroplane. I always feel the need to sleep. I don't know if it's because the air becomes different or it's the rigmarole of finally finding your seat. So I thought I'd have a little pre-flight nap.
Okay.
And then I woke up again and the plane's still there. Like it hasn't left the tarmac. So I look at the time and I've had a proper half hour nap. And then I hear the captain saying, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a report of human trafficking. And so basically there was a girl on the plane and she alerted the air flight passenger crew that she's not there by her own choice. So then this captain, to his credit, you know, he's normally saying cuck like, sorry, we got rain or, you know, we've got a bit of turbulence. He's trying to unpack a very delicate matter where the cops are now involved. So now the plane's a crime scene.
Evan.
So now we see the cops coming on and then the guy's basically saying that they've been trying to identify a passenger, the scripter that's basically holding her against her will. But then they couldn't find this oak. Then they couldn't find the oaks. Now it's getting a bit sketchy. And everyone's staring at the front of the plane. And the guy's like, please, no use of cameras. And then like three police officers come onto the plane. And this young girl gets taken off. And then he says, not to worry. They've called her parents. Everything's going to be okay. And it was just like the weird things.
But you know, this is what scares the hell out of me because I've heard about human trafficking and, you know, I've heard stories from a couple of people who seem to know what they're talking about and have had either personal experiences or know someone involved. But that in some way brings it all right home. And that's so terrifying. That gives me like the chills that there's some little girl who's abducted or she's drugged or she's, I don't know how these creeps work. And then he gets her to the point where she's on the plane. I mean, it's just, imagine how that could happen in an instant. And that little girl could have disappeared forever because she'd end up in Cape Town. Then she'd end up, I don't know, on a boat or back on another plane before she knew what was going on.
Yeah. So like the mind kind of goes, okay, so she had the chance to basically tell people that she's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But she could have said that maybe earlier in the whole process, or maybe this person's threatened this girl. Like, if you say anything, we know where your family lives, and we will kill your family.
Isn't that the case most of the time? They always threaten you, and they say if you try run or run away or escape. And most of the time, like, the law enforcement is in on it. Like, you run to them, and then they take her, and then just take her back to whoever kidnapped her.
See, that's also probably the scariest thing completely, like, when you have an in like that, because some criminals are just always stronger than anyone can ever touch.
Yeah.
But what a horrible...
That's probably... That's got to be... I mean, you know, child abuse and like trafficking in people are right up there for me. They're, you know, rape and murder are probably the only two that come into the same category. And it's just... It scares the hell out of me that we live in a country where this can happen. You know, and clearly it happens... This is the one time they managed to find out in time. But I think with our police, you know, bless them. I know there are a lot of police people who are trying to do their best work, but there are also lots of really cuck ones. And I don't know how many slip through the net, but it's scary. I mean, Ben, you must have thought for a second there, wow, how many of these people on this plane, you don't know their story, right? Mm-hmm. I always kind of look at people as they come onto the plane and I try to figure out what their those two are married. That guy is a rich businessman. That woman is having her first flight ever. You know, you try to kind of make sense of people's stories, but I've never thought, wow, that little girl or that young woman looks unhappy. Maybe she's a victim of child trafficking, or that's fucking scary.
And absolutely stuck and can't scream for help and can't run away or can't do anything because maybe there's other things that are now keeping her captive. And that must be so scary. Yeah. Like, I always think of airports as like happy places. People are going somewhere. Mm-mm. They're going to get new business. They're going to go see friends, whatever. But shit, what a horrible way at the start. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to bring it down like this.
I'm so glad they found her, and I'm so glad they found this guy, and let's hope he goes to jail. But, I mean, why they didn't let you take pictures? If he's a child sex trafficker or something, or some kind of abductor of girls, I reckon, you know, this is one of the things that the internet is useful. We should be able to put his picture out far and wide, and everybody should know what this guy does.
So he wasn't on the plane.
Oh, wow.
That's even scarier.
Yeah, that was the weird thing that the captain was trying to sort of unpack. It's like they were looking for someone because she obviously described this guy who was forcing her to be on this flight, but he actually wasn't on there apparently because everyone was looking up thinking, okay, so what if he's sitting next to her and they both get up? And then we should all, yeah. Wow. Yeah, there were a couple of holes in the story, and eventually we took off and
had a great time in Cape Town.
It was hard work. It was basically flooding in Cape Town. That PlayStation.
You were down there for the Box and for Clip Drift, who are renewing their sponsorship of the Box. And I saw you there with Kate Nokwe. Tell us about her.
Yeah, I've known Kate for quite some time. She's very good at what she does. She works in the sports industry, much like me. And I've wanted to like go to these kind of events and not have to try and present and actually be on camera. Okay. And she's like the perfect person to go to events with because she knows people. She's so much fun. And this event was so cool, but it was raining to the point where it was flooding outside. When people parked their Uber, got out of their Ubers, they had to take their shoes off because the water was just, it was pretty rough. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. Like literally got on the plane at, got to the airport at 6. So the flight was meant to leave at 6.
Okay.
And then we...
6 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
Full day of trying to get content, interview people. Managed to like professionally put through three double brandy and Cokes. Because, you know, while we're there.
Okay.
And it was nice. So there was like a roaring fire, nice people. And eventually got home at like half past 9 at night. It was a long day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, that is a lot. And that red eye flight, you have to wake up for it like 4. So,
yeah.
Not messing around.
Yeah, guys, I'm excited for this weekend. Hey, tonight's going to be a big sleep. I need it.
I see you wearing your Bok jersey from old school, which is a good start to the weekend. So, who are we actually playing and what are we doing? Because I don't know any of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, Gareth. So, it's the first Bok game of the week, of the season.
The ones that cost like 3 million.
Well,
what? In terms of tickets, they're so expensive. Oh, they're like three. They're like a couple. Is it those ones?
I wouldn't say they're expensive. I'd say they're competitively priced with the market entertainment prospect that you get from it. We're playing Barbarians, so it's not actually a test match.
Okay.
So it's like an invitational game.
Okay.
Because Rassi wanted more fixtures to kind of try more players and get the squad really firing. So come rugby championship time, it's a well grooved unit. So the Barbarians, they've been around since like 1890. It's probably the most famous rugby club in the world. But they've never played in South Africa. They always generally play in England. And it's normally like an end of season tour kind of game that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So they've assembled. They've gone to Cape Town thinking they're going to have a lekker week. Nice little piss up. No, it's raining. The weather's cuck. They're about to play a very fired up Springbok team. And that's this weekend in Cape Town. Next week at Loftus, that's when it's the first test match of the season.
Okay, those are the ones that are expensive.
And Loftus, Simpiwe, Loftus will not let you down because there's always very little rain in Pretoria in June, July, and August. So you should perfect. Be safe.
Okay.
Guys, it's absolutely perfect. We kind of had this whole breakdown. So on the Bounce Show this week, we had Robbie Cruz. Now, my friend Robbie Cruz is the guy who actually announces the teams on the stadium, like stadium microphone.
That's so dope.
So like when the Springboks are about to come out, he runs through the whole team and then he is the MC for the game. So yeah, we had the most awesome time chatting about all of this. So yeah, please go watch that show if you want to know anything about the box. We go through all the fixtures, the whole season, what's to be excited about, and you'll see the event in the rain.
Okay, so we got a couple of things to get to this morning, and we will do some sport a little later on. So anybody who's got a hunger for that, Ben is in studio and he's
good weekend
able to
for
help
it.
Us with all the sport. Yeah, it's gonna be a busy weekend. But I do want to get on to some other things quickly. First of all, a lot of people are very worried that Diddy is going to get off scot-free in his trial, but that's obviously not the case. You know, we're talking about like child sex traffickers and sex trafficking in general. So apparently what they've done is they've dropped a couple of the charges of racketeering and so on, because they actually want to focus in, as I understand it, the prosecutors. I mean, I don't follow the Diddy trial like most people are. I'm not that interested. I'm horrified at the way this guy's behaved. I think he's an obviously reprehensible human being. And clearly there's so much that goes into the music business here that has to do with just these total perverts who live in Hollywood and in the music industry. But they're trying to get rid of some of the more complex cases, because you know Americans use a jury system, and a jury means you've got ordinary people there, and ordinary people are very stupid and can only follow one line of thinking. So they're trying to just sort of get them to focus on the most important charges. So that would be the sex trafficking, the abuse, and the money laundering. They're not going to try and get him into 500 different charges, which you could probably charge Diddy with. So they've dropped a couple of those charges. It makes people nervous that he's going to get away with it. He's apparently not going to. But his defense team presented text messages to court to support their claim that his relationships were loving and consensual. Those are the words they used, loving and consensual. Now, for anyone who watched that video of Cassie Ventura being dragged by her hair down the corridor of a hotel and kicked and hit, if that's loving and consensual, P. Diddy must maybe reevaluate his use of the dictionary, because that's not what I would call it. The messages ranged from affectionate to sexually explicit, with one from 2017 showing Ventura calling Combs her best friend and expressing deep love for him. I'm sure if you'd asked that little girl on the plane, Ben, while the guy who abducted her or who kidnapped her, who was going to traffic her or whatever, while he's in the room, she would have said whatever he wanted her to say, because she would have been terrified, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think Cassie Ventura would call Combs her best friend or express deep love for him now. She may have once loved him, but I think those things change and nothing is forever. Prosecutors begin their closing argument on Thursday. So it's wrapping up very quickly. I mean, as trials go, this is not taking as long as some. And the defense will start their closing argument today. So that's going to be exciting to watch for people who are into it. And then, amazing news from Argentina. Their annual GDP growth now stands at 5.8%, which is the highest in the Western world, higher than China. So very good. And this is all because Javier Milei is the smartest man in economic policy worldwide, and he is an anti-communist capitalist free marketeer through and through. If you want to know how to make your country happy and successful and bring more people out of poverty than any other way, you have to have the free market. That is what capitalism does. Here he is demonstrating it again. This is going to irritate communists for the next 200 years, because it's a perfect example of a guy who just had the right principles from the beginning, has implemented them, and his country is winning, something we haven't felt in South Africa for a long time. Take a look at this quickly, just to show you how little winning we're used to. I found a graph yesterday of the highest salary earners in South Africa. Okay, so these are the CEOs who earn the big bucks. Before you put that up, James, all of these people who earn the biggest salaries in the country, because remember, most clever private sector CEOs won't pay themselves big salaries. They'll rather take dividends when the company does well. or they have share options, or they have shares, or they pay themselves bonuses if the company does well. But it's all based on performance, right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, because if the company does well and you're the boss, then you probably deserve a pay increase because you
absolutely
managed the company. It's like Javier Milei, if he paid himself as president right now, a little 5.8% extra, that would be in line with the growth that he's stimulated in the country, which was in the toilet economically. So it might not sound like a lot, but Argentina had runaway inflation and they had major problems. So he fixed that. So as the CEO of Argentina, he could probably pay himself more. But the difference is he's in government and that doesn't work in government. All of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 highest paid CEOs, salary CEOs in South Africa, all of them are in
government,
mining,
the public sector. None of them are in the private sector. Take a look at this quickly. Here we go. 15 South African state-owned companies whose chief executive officers earn 6 million rand a year or more. Okay,
What are stars
start at
doing
the bottom. Just hang on. We'll start at the bottom. So this is the one who pays himself the least. There are two of them, actually. The National Roads Agency, that's SANREL, who we all love to pieces, right? Those are the ones who tried to implement the e-tolls and failed spectacularly. And South African Airways, which I didn't know is still a thing and apparently is still a thing. So whoever's running SAA, who have no planes that I can tell, by the way, I don't know that there are any SAA-branded planes at the moment. They still claim to be an airline. There's still flights every now and then. It seems to be fairly random. But there's a CEO who pays themselves 6 million rand. That's for South African Airways and for the Roads Agency. Then there's the Airports Company of South Africa, which is supposed to keep our airports running nicely. They deal with everything from when you park your car at the airport, which always is the most expensive parking you'll get anywhere, right to when you get on the plane. That is everything in between is the Airports Company South Africa, and they run all of our major airports in this country. So they pay themselves, whoever this person is, 6.13 million rand a year. Now, just think about how much that is, right? Let's take the lowest ones here. So 6 million rand a year, because I know Simpiwe, Ben and I talk often about how much some people earn, but let's just look at 6 million rand a year. Divide that by 12, that's 500,000 rand a month. Okay, so even if they're paying tax on half of that, let's imagine that they taxed at 50%, which is not possible on the books, but let's just say it is. Let's say that they are honest, good people who don't try to cheat the system, and let's take half. Let's say the government takes half of that back. Okay, they still earn 500,000 rand a month. 250,000 is what they will pay after tax themselves. 250,000 rand a month. Can you imagine what you would do with that?
Yes.
Wow.
That is outrageous in a country that is struggling like this for a public sector company. But wait, it gets better because there are even worse ones here. I'm going to skip through these quite quickly. The air traffic and navigation services. We've got to make sure that person's paid properly, but to the tune of 6.14 million, I don't know. Central Energy Fund. Okay, we don't have any energy. This person pays themselves 6.15 million rand. Then the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, the CEO
of the
Trans...
What is that now?
That sounds like some bullshit. That is in the Water and Sanitation Department, apparently. 6.67 million rand that person gets. One person earns that. Then we've got the Government Employees Pension Fund. The CEO of that pays themselves a whopping 6.7 million.
That's someone's entire pension.
Simpiwe, that is more than some people will ever hope to earn in their entire lives, let alone in 1 year. We've got Road Traffic Management Corporation, Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the Road Accident Fund. Remember, this is a totally mismanaged part of the parastatal government structure. The Road Accident Fund is one of the most corrupt, stupid, badly run, delinquent and useless parts of our government. And Collins Letswalo, who was, I think, still is the CEO there, pays himself an outrageous 7.07 million rand a year. Then we've got Eskom. Now, you could argue that Eskom is turning around, they're doing their best, but to the tune of 7.11 million rand, I don't know whether that man, that CEO, is, or that anyone in South Africa is worth 7.7 million rand or 7.1 million rand in salary. Remember, this is salary. You know, if you're going to give a bonus, cool, if they get things right. But that's not how government works. It's got nothing to do with performance. All of the people on this list could fail spectacularly every day and they'd still get that money. And some of them are failing spectacularly. Like, let's look at the next one up, PRASA, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa. Our passenger train system in this country is a disgrace. And that person is paid 7.8 million rand a year. SARS, we have to pay Edward Kiswetter, the man who steals from us in the name of the government, to pay for all of the things that we never get any value from. This country is a bottomless pit for hardworking South Africans. We know who those South Africans are. We know that only a small percentage of South Africans are paying all the tax, but we're talking about everybody when we talk about VAT and everything else. This guy at SARS, who's supposed to be making it easier for us to earn money and to pay government less, is paying himself 8.2 million rand. And then Transnet, 8.5 million rand. And just before you think that's the worst it can get, the total remuneration that the Development Bank of South Africa has paid its CEO in the last year is 15.50 million rand. The Development Bank of South Africa. I'm going to look up who this is. Don't you want to know? Well, it's a woman and her name is Boitumelo Musako. All right?
Damn.
She was appointed on April 1st, 2023. Before that, she was the chief financial officer. And she is being paid 15 million rand a year.
So I would like to compare her remuneration to like private equity firms, big finance sort of capital companies who raise a lot of money, and they do this in a very, I don't know, like competitive sense, because they're a development bank, right? So they've got to have funds to help develop.
Yeah, I think.
So you would think that maybe don't take too much because you're.
No, I think the only one that I'm not mad at is the bank, considering if you had to look at how much CEOs and banks actually earn.
But it's
right up there.
It's a development bank, though, so you're helping with development. It's a different sort
it
of.
Could be.
It's a different sort of focus, I think, as far as how money's raised and earned.
No, yeah, but at the end of the day, a bank is a bank. They're there to make money. Like, they, you know what I'm saying? Even though the whole, like, the name of it is to help people and whatnot, every business goes into, a person goes into business to make money. And so I'm just saying, because it's still called a bank needs to make money. I think that's the least I'm upset about.
Okay, so do you see the other bank CEOs up there? The banks who are much richer,
no.
greater.
So, I mean, they may pay themselves more.
Oh, state-owned companies.
Bank, yeah.
But again, they'd need the shareholders to agree. They'd need board resolutions. And remember, they're run by private investors in large part. So those people have to say, you know what? This guy or this girl's done such an excellent job that we're willing to give them a lump sum of, it could be 50 million rand. It's none of our business because it's not our money. This is our money. This is our money. Right?
Yeah.
All of these people that I've just read out to you, all of them are on our payroll as citizens and taxpayers in South Africa. So I think if that's not the kind of job, maybe Boitumelo is really, really talented, then she can go work for a private bank and she could probably earn more than that. But she's chosen to work for this bank. And I mean, just adding up all the people on that list, you come to a substantial salary bill that we're paying the CEOs of these mostly defunct and failed parastatals. I mean, we're close to, just on this list, we're over 100 million, okay? 100 million every single year to all of these people. out of our pockets into theirs. Her salary at the top there earns her over a million, 1.2 million rand a month. A month. Okay, so I thought you needed to see that because we often talk about money here. We're all like, oh, what would I do if I had an extra 5,000 rand? Well, that's not a problem for these guys. While we're talking about money, Simpiwe has found out what the most expensive apartment ever sold in South Africa is. Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, hey. Like South Africa's a movie. Like you have CEOs.
It really is.
Earning like 15 million, you know, annually. And then you have an apartment that was recently sold for 145 million rand. Okay. This is like the most expensive apartment ever sold now. And you guys can guess where it's based. I think it's pretty obvious. But it's an apartment in Clifton. Yeah. Clifton First Beach. And this is now the most expensive apartment. It's a 5-bedroom apartment. It has like all the latest finishes. And yeah, like the previous apartment, I think, was sold for 120 million. So now this one has topped it. And yeah, it's up there, you know, with the price of living in Clifton.
Yeah, so obviously top floor. I would like to know if this person has to put up with neighbors. How many people below them? And is the people below them seen as a negative? Or was that part of the price? It's like, I'm better than all of these people. I reign above them.
Those are good questions. Because I was just stuck on the price. Well, I was like, an apartment.
You know, I mean, I've seen like apartments in New York that cost 50 million US dollars, for example, which is way more than this. And what they have that makes them so expensive is a view, first of all, an address that everybody wants, second of all. You know, there's certain streets and certain neighborhoods and certain places in New York you want to be that cost more just because they're in that place. They're not necessarily bigger or better or anything else. And then they have things like private lifts. So if it's a, you know, 20 to 100 story building, you might have your own lift. In other words, that lift on the ground floor is just for you and your family. And you have your own doorman who meets you in the hat and everything. I mean, this is New York, so they really do things properly. Well, except electing mayors, but we can get onto that later. And I'm sure that this place must be luxury in every sense. I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched any of these shows where these people try to sell. You know, we've talked about it before on the show. The kind of like dressed up hookers, and then they try to sell these very fancy and expensive places.
Selling sunsets.
Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So we've seen some of these places selling sunsets. Thank you, Ben. And these places are extraordinary. I mean, I just don't know if you're going to spend over 100 million on a property in South Africa. Why would you choose an apartment? Wouldn't you want, I mean, for 100 million, this is 145 something, according to Simpiwe and some change. You could have the most magnificent house in the world. You could have land, you could have trees, you could have space, you could have, I mean, you could pretty much do anything you want in South Africa for 145 million rand. There is no limit. You could have something in the bush, you could have something in the mountains, you could have something on the beach. But because it's in Clifton, clearly that's part of the reason. And second of all, it's an apartment, which to me seems a bit steep for 145. You're only going to have that much space. I don't know. I mean, it's insane.
Five bedrooms. I think they're trying to lean on the word apartment for effect. Five bedrooms is five bedrooms. An apartment's two bedrooms, guys. Let's be honest. After that, it's basically a house with friend walls.
I don't know. I think like, if you have that kind of cash, just buy a house. I mean, houses are going for like 30, 40 mil if you're already in that range.
What if you really love the ocean and Clifton?
I'm pretty sure you could get like a beautiful beach house that looks into...
No, you can't. No, they've cut into the cliff of Clifton.
Okay.
There is no space.
Okay.
This is nothing.
So it's done for. So this is the best you can do now.
I mean, like, you can't suddenly go, just go have a beach house. I'm sure you can get one with fish hook. It's like a very different thing.
Yeah, and really there are some unbelievably beautiful views from Clifton. I've got friends there, and I've seen some of these places from the inside, and I'll tell you what, it's just unbelievable what's in there once you see it on the outside and you think, oh well, that doesn't look very spectacular, but it goes down like 7 floors. There's it's incredible. So well done to whoever bought this. Listen, I suppose we shouldn't complain. Just because we're all jealous, which is probably the truth.
Yes.
If someone is putting that kind of money into property in South Africa, that is a show of faith in the country that most of us probably wouldn't make. I mean, that's sinking a large amount of money into Cape Town real estate, which is probably just like a luxury purchase for them. They're not looking to make money out of it. They're not going to rent it out. You know, it's for their use. So
can you imagine how much cocaine's going to be done in that place? That's another thing. We shouldn't be so, we've got to be more sensitive about. Like, people do drugs.
Yeah.
And to be able to do drugs in 145 million rand apartment.
Hey, why not?
I'm sure it's the best. Absolutely
right,
best.
But then, what's the best place to live? Because a lot of hysterical and not very well-informed people have been screaming about World War III for the last couple of weeks. Is Cape Town a good place to live if there's a nuclear war? And I hate to make all the nervous people even more nervous, because it isn't going to happen. And thank God, you know, there were some things done in the last week and a half that have seen to it that Iran, a lunatic regime, won't have nuclear weapons. That's good news for everybody. I don't care what anyone says. It's good news that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons.
Sure.
If you think otherwise, you should also not have nuclear weapons, if you ask me. But if there were nuclear weapons, apparently Ben knows where you can go that is apparently the safest place to live should there be a nuclear fallout, nuclear winter.
Yeah, there is, guys. If you think of like far away, okay, so the Middle East, you know where that is, Northern Hemisphere, mm-hmm. It's very clustered around there. What's very far away from there? Yes, we are very far away from here. The $145 million a rand apartment for the cocaine's far away. But the best place, because of how sustainable it is New Zealand and Australia. Because they, sense. Like food production and that kind of stuff's good. Our food production is no longer seen as stable, unfortunately. So, I mean, I still think if you live in the Southern Hemisphere in the tips like we do, we're still good when it comes to apocalyptic things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really, really super want to be safe, then, yeah, like good, you know, farm areas in New Zealand where you can have the sheep running and the bulls and stuff. That's if you're really, really concerned, go stake your claim there. Because there's also the population density, so there's space.
Mm.
You've got some kind of working infrastructure. The weather's going to be shite and the people are going to be unattractive. But New Zealand's got stuff. New Zealand's going to be a safe haven.
Okay. I think it makes sense.
Oh, by the way, New Zealand's so unattractive. I was thinking about New Zealand last weekend. I changed my profile picture. James, have you got the picture that I put up? So I changed my profile picture just for fun. I do this occasionally because you should be allowed to have fun. And even if you're an adult and you have responsibilities and it was over a weekend, and I was like, I'm going to change my profile picture to something ridiculous. I've done it before, where I've changed it to like very strange-looking people on the internet or whatever. And then you always get messages from people going, is there something wrong with you? Or is there a problem? Do we need to call friends? Do we need to come and
rescue
you?
Have you been hacked?
Yeah.
Have you been hacked? Are we going to see your penis next?
Yeah, so I was like, no, this is just funny. I put this picture up. Show them. Got the profile picture I changed? I can't hear what James is saying.
He said one sec.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
he's just he's feeding people. It into the computer, Gareth. He's got the picture, he's just feeding it in.
He's putting a paper into it like this.
Yeah.
Feeding it in.
He's pushing it into the screen.
Xeroxing.
He's bouncing back. Maybe fold it, James.
He's not saying anything to us, huh?
Okay, now he's working very hard in the background. He's got the oil-burning diesel engine going that then Xeroxes the paper that the photograph was printed on at 3 o'clock this morning, and then he puts it through the machine. And that's how we get to see it. Anyway, we've lost the moment. Don't worry about it. I don't care.
You're so impatient. Fucking,
just pretend I didn't even ask James. It's fine. It's that chick who did the interview with Meghan Markle. You know that Jamie Fern Lima or whatever.
Yes.
Wait, that, Meghan Markle did an interview?
Yeah.
No, this is a while ago. Okay.
I thought it was a new interview. I was going to be like, no.
Yes. That interview was so bad that occasionally it still comes up in my feed on Instagram, you know, and like people send me all the parodies. By the way, this one guy did an excellent parody of that interview. I'm not going to ask James just in case he thinks, you know, has to go and put the video together himself and fly to LA and interview Megan and this Lima chick again. So I'm not going to ask. But that thing has come up so many times, and it is unbelievably bad. Oh, here we are. Oh, look at this.
He's found the parody straight away.
I'm doing my best.
Everything is blossoming for you right now.
Well, I can appreciate hard work, and I like working hard.
Yeah.
And what I've realized is I don't have to do anything. I just have to be. My team will handle the rest.
I have full body chills right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you think our lives are divinely ordered?
Wow. That's a beautiful question.
I mean, you've never done a podcast before, and the fact that you're sitting here right now, that's not random. That's something greater. What made you say yes to be on this podcast?
Because it's you. I was telling H the other day over breakfast in Montecito, I feel like I've finally found the secret to success.
Yeah.
It's this one word that I've been slowly trying to weave into my kid's subconscious. The other day, Archie was trying to zip up his jacket, and he was getting so frustrated.
Yeah.
I got down, and I looked at him, soul to soul, and I said, "You can't zip it up yet."
Yet. I love that.
The power of yet.
And I bet he felt such fulfillment when he finally zipped it up, right?
The zipper actually turned out to be broken, so he never got it up. But the lesson was there.
I do recall before we start.
Oh my God. I you know, that is exactly what they sound like in real life. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, yeah,
I
mean, it's almost
that parody.
It's almost too good. It's too close to actually be a parody.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
The host.
What is with that chick's face? There we go. There, I changed my profile picture. There. Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's hilarious.
I think so that's just like fake. That's fake. That's just years of fake smiling turns your face into that.
Oh, my word.
What is. And she's like a makeup like guru, apparently. She's got, you know, she's
very
made
successful
tons
woman,
of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, to look like fucking that, you know, it's like going to the gym and your personal trainer is this enormous orangutan. You're not going in the right direction. If women are looking at her going, yeah, she looks great, I got bad news for you.
Well, let's see the That's before picture before we get too critical.
Yeah, maybe the before picture's even worse. Have you guys seen all these videos of that AI is churning out now of like old people being asked questions, and they come up with these outrageous and rude answers, and they've done it a lot with like UK grannies and grandpas, but it's all artificially generated. There's no real people involved, and they always say really disgusting things.
Have
you got one of those for me, James? Just so I can give an example and anybody who's watching can get it. Here we go.
Madam, what's your top tip for a long, happy marriage?
Bend over, shut up, and let him park his bus in your garage every night, love.
What's one thing you'd do if you were 40 years younger?
I'd fucking bend you up like a deck chair and smash your back doors in, love.
Oh, Oh my God. What dating advice would you give the younger generation?
Why are they so short?
If he doesn't scran your salmon wallet and your ass at the same time, bin him off, love.
Like, why are they so short?
They're old.
I'm sorry. I've never heard that phrase before, the salmon wallet, but that is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, but it's also very, very rude. That salmon old man wallet. Who said, "And what would you do if you were 40 years younger?" And he goes, "Well, I'd bend you over like a deck chair and smash your back doors in." Unbelievable. So they're churning out a lot of these lately, and it seems to be so. You can't. We've got to the point now, and we knew this is going to happen. Might even have happened a long while ago, where you can no longer trust the internet. You don't know what's real. You don't know what isn't.
Yeah, but it does look very fake, though.
Yeah, because they're all short.
Yeah, I mean it looks fake, but I don't know if you looked at that. Because I kind of caught on that it's AI, but some people wouldn't, you know. There are people who still read News 24 and think that they're getting the news. So,
yeah, I guess you're right. There is those people.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I watch most things. And
go on.
Yeah, I mean, I watch most things with a very critical eye, mostly because I'm in the field of making videos and things. So you've got to look at compositions of framing anyway.
Yes.
But there's so much out there that is AI, and people just share. It's like, oh, look how incredible this is. But it's obvious, guys. Like, there's a few telltale things. Maybe that's like a feature in future. Is it real or not? And we can tell you why.
Yes. There's a chick who actually does those on TikTok. She's like, is this real? Is it AI? And most of the time, you kind of get like caught in the, oh, no, that's real. And she's like, no, that's completely AI. Because it's that good now. It's like amazingly that good.
Well, I asked ChatGPT the other day to show me what a tokolosh looks like.
Evan.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you want to see what a tokolosh would look like if you ask ChatGPT for a tokolosh? And then I'll explain.
Is it a picture of Trevor Gumby?
No! You can't say that!
Yeah, pretty much. That does look a bit like Trevor Gumby, actually. Don't you think? Right?
That is a scary tokolosh.
Yeah, it is scary.
Yeah,
very, very scary. But it seems that ChatGPT knows quite a lot about the tokolosh.
Which is also weird.
I find it very exciting that we have AI that can now tell us about like old traditional beliefs and cultural symbols that, you know, before if you'd get very rubbish answers out of like Google before, but ChatGPT seems to be more tied into this kind of thing. Also, I saw a headline yesterday that Sam Altman, who's the guy who started ChatGPT, he's the founder, he said he cannot believe that people trust it. He cannot believe that people are stupid enough to trust ChatGPT, which is a hell of a thing for the founder to say. I mean, that's like shooting yourself in the foot. So you kind of have to wonder if he's just doing what I did when I changed my profile picture to that Karen Lima chick, whatever. Maybe he's just having fun. Or you think he's messing with us? Because, yeah, we know it hallucinates and things, but he can't believe anyone trusts it at all? That's kind of a big statement for him.
Yeah, it's a very weird general statement because it's so nuanced. There's like so many things you can use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so Absolutely. Great for a lot of research and saves so much time. If it's going to tell you about like your future, then maybe, yeah, that's a bit dumb. But there's so much that analytically it will get right.
Yeah. I think people have just got to be sensible about this. It is an excellent research tool.
Yeah.
It's great at researching things. You know, if you want to collate a whole bunch of useful information and make a summary or comprehensively rendered, like it's kind of like your best English language resource. That's where it's the best thing. If you're trying to compile something in English for an essay, a presentation or whatever, then that's terrific. I just don't know how teachers are coping with this. And I think it's probably a good idea for us to get a teacher in sometime. Because unless the kid is writing the essay in front of you, right in front of you, and you can watch them the whole time and they don't have a phone or a laptop with them, I don't know that any people who are upwards of kind of primary school, I don't know how any of them are not using ChatGPT. to do their assignments, their essays, their dissertations. There's no way that they're not using ChatGPT. They found out in some research they did just the other day in the UK that I think every single person they asked had used ChatGPT for those purposes I've just outlined. Now, not one had used their brain and books and the internet as a, you know, and with them being the primary researcher. They'd all run everything through ChatGPT. So it's become ubiquitous, right?
That's such a weird thought because like comprehension is a really important thing for all kinds of learning. And if you can just go home and just type stuff in, your homework goes from like 3 hours to 20 minutes. Who wouldn't do that?
Oh, hell yes.
Right, like that's what we did as kids. We're always cutting corners and we're always doing less, never more. Even like, wow.
Yeah, but then I guess the statement of like you shouldn't trust it comes into play when you're younger and you're using it for everything. Because what you're essentially doing is giving it the power to think and you no longer doing the critical thinking, which is what they try to instill in school, that you need to be a critical thinker. You need to be able to like divide, long division, multiply. And then from there, you can use other tools to assist. And so if the basis from the beginning is you're already using tools to get to your answer.
But like a general problem solving, if you see impatient kids who always act out and are absolute little shits, they don't have the ability to problem solve, but they're little shits. They're like 2, 3, whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to get a whole generation of adults who cannot problem solve, and they won't be able to do things like cue or deal with like the most basic thing, and then they'll act out and they get angry. And then
They'll probably just prompt ChatGPT on how to react in those moments. And I think that's the issue, is that they're going to rely on it for everything. So like, I failed at school. What do I do now? Like, how? And then that will, you know, they give it a prompt and then they'll cool.
It's scary. I'll tell you why it's even scarier than that, because we have such low levels of literacy in South Africa. Yeah. Now, even ChatGPT, with all of its incredible capabilities, cannot help you if you can't speak or write English. Most people cannot spell and cannot... They have no comprehension of the language. I mean, you could see how people, if you do have them have to write anything down, you suddenly see like, oh, wow, I thought this person was smart, but they're obviously way, way dumber than I thought they were because they cannot write at all. So, you know, even something as brilliant as ChatGPT, it has to work with you. You have to put in good prompts. You have to know what you're looking for. You have to have a vocabulary to speak of. You have to be able to construct a sentence properly so that it can figure out and divine from that sentence what you're looking for. And you know, in South Africa, we have very, very low levels of literacy and numeracy. So I don't know that South Africa is going to be a place that even ChatGPT can help unless we get people to smarten up a bit. And exactly what Ben and Simpiwe were saying is like, these are often kids that are, they're cognitively very slow. They're not on the level. So the smart kid using ChatGPT is still going to be better than the dumb kid using ChatGPT. Although the best of both worlds is people who can think independently of AI and people who can think with AI, and then the people who can put it all together. Those are the people who are going to win. And if you know nothing and you rely on ChatGPT for everything, you've lost the ability to think, you're in big shit going forward and no one's going to be able to help you.
Yeah, that's true. But
then if you go into like a conspiratory theory kind of rabbit hole, maybe that's what stuff is designed, because we saw in COVID, people want groupthink. They want to be able to corral masses to like one way of thinking so they can control them. So maybe this thing is the absolute final mind virus.
Okay, well, it's 7 o'clock. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will find out about the top 10 airlines for 2025. Ben has some info on that for us. We'll also talk about something that really irritates me and Simpiwe and probably you as well, and that is electricity and petrol going up. We're not happy about that. And then turning terrible Tinder conversations into songs, which is one of the things the internet is the best at.
That's where AI is good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's what we want more of. We'll be back with more of that and a whole lot of other stuff. Don't go anywhere. Good morning. It's Friday.